Thank you. So today I'm going to read Matthew 6, 1 to 18. Giving to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Thank you. What I'd like to do now is just to share some thoughts about the passage that Emily read. If you have a Bible with you, which I would encourage, maybe you'd like to find those verses. It's Matthew 6, and we're looking through verses 1 through 18. So in this passage, there's four areas really. There's a section talking about giving to the needy, a section talking about prayer, a section talking about fasting, and also a short section on the Lord's Prayer. And what I'd like to do is actually to walk through those with you and share what I think the Lord may be laying upon my heart to share with you. And my earnest prayer is that the Lord will take whatever I say and just throw away the rubbish and maybe just leave one nugget of truth for each of you. So let's start about with the giving. Giving to the needy. Do you want to put that slide up? Now, you probably need a good eyesight for that. You don't really need to read it. That is just the passage that Emily read. That's verses 1 through 4. And it's talking about giving to the needy. It does say, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In the New Testament times, when Jesus was saying these words, giving to the needy was really a pillar of religious life. And it still is, isn't it? We are still called to share of ourselves, of our time with others. But Jesus is calling out that the giving here is not quite right. That the way of giving here is not actually pleasing to God. What he's highlighting here is that the motivation to give is wrong. And a consequence of that, he's saying that these people who are doing it in this manner, well, their reward, they've had it in full. They're missing out on the spiritual blessing that can come from giving in the way that the Lord would have us give. So let's step back a little bit, back to the time of Jesus. And, well, who are the needy? As I said, it was a core expression of their faith to give to the needy, to give alms. And the religious leaders, the Jews themselves, well, they provided food and money for those that needed it. They supported widows and orphans, and they would support and help strangers. They should be given and sharing acts of mercy quietly, without seeking honor. But Jesus highlighted something here, that actually their giving has turned into a bit of a performance. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. I'm going to come back to that phrase, hypocrites, a little bit later on. So I'm not going to dwell on it too much at the moment. But what Jesus is seeing here is that they are making a play. They're making a spectacle of their giving. They're making sure that people know they are giving. They may be highlighting how much they are giving. And they're doing that because they want the adoration and the praise for themselves. The motivation there is wrong. I'll expand on that a little bit shortly. What does giving to the needy mean today? How do we give to the needy? We are certainly encouraged to do so. Throughout these verses, it doesn't say if you pray. It doesn't say if you fast. It doesn't say if you give to the needy. Jesus says when you pray. When you give to the needy, when you fast. So during this time, Jesus is expecting his disciples to be doing these things. He's actually saying these things are wrong, but he is highlighting a key aspect, something that is really important. If that aspect is wrong, then the spiritual benefit, the spiritual nurturing is not there, and it's not pleasing to God. So who are the needy for today? How do we give to the needy today? Well, obviously, we share our income with this church, with other charities, with other people. That's one way of giving. We support food banks and shelters and other charities. We give to individuals who may be facing a particular crisis. We may sponsor children through organizations and global initiatives that tackle poverty. We may support these things. It may be as simple as cooking a meal for somebody. These are all situations where there is a need and the Lord would have us meet that need. I'd like to highlight sometimes actually the best Christ-like giving that we can do is not monetary, it's not physical, but it is. It's just being with somebody. It's being in their presence. The isolated neighbor, someone who's lonely. They don't want your money. They want company. They want contact. They want relationship. And I'm going to come back to that word as well. How do we support those who are around us that are older and have difficulty getting about? Maybe the refugee family who's been displaced from their home and they're here and they need help settling. Maybe we have friends or colleagues who are struggling with mental health. You can't fix that with money. You can't fix that with food, but you can bring God's touch by being alongside them That's how we can give to the needy. But Jesus says in here, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving. Now, I don't think that can be literal, can it? Can you imagine that? It's not going to work, is it? But it's a strong image, isn't it? He says, really, really, keep your giving secret. Secret from those around you, because we're not sharing our faith. We're not giving in his name for our sakes. We are not giving for our own benefits of being adored, of being seen. It says in that verse, and what about prayer? Go into the quiet room, the secret place where God knows what he's done. And God is, I'm going to come to the hypocrite in a minute. God is saying, I want you to do these things quietly, discreetly, because then your motivation is right. I should pick up that in a moment or two. You see, if we give to impress others, we are taking away any spiritual value in what we're doing. God doesn't want us to give like that. He wants us to share his love. He wants us to share his compassion. And compassion, Jesus' compassion, is where our motivation in his name comes to give. It doesn't come from a selfish want to be lifted on high. It comes because the Lord's compassion is within us. Godly compassion is an action. We can see throughout the Old Testament as well as the New that we have a God who is compassionate, a God who shares compassion. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, God delights in steadfast love and will again have compassion on us. Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And Jesus, of course, demonstrated compassion, didn't he, in his ministry. A little later on, we'll come to Matthew 9 in our series, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion, compassion that led him to forgive, to heal, to restore, and that compassion ultimately, didn't it, led him to lay down his life for us. Compassion is not a passive emotion. It comes from empathy, doesn't it? If you work out your empathy, if you see somebody and you feel for them, then you show your compassion. You do something. It's not passive being compassionate with somebody. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Compassion is love that does something. That is where our giving should be rooted. It should come from compassion. If we give from a place of compassion, if we give in his name, being our Lord's hands, his feet, his provision for others, then that is when we can receive a spiritual blessing. That is when we are nourished by that act. If somebody was to give to the needy and post about it on Facebook, wouldn't that be sad? It happens. Because when they post it on Facebook, you see, actually, they're doing this because we want, or they want our likes. I don't do Facebook. I think a like is a good thing, isn't it? You sort of, if you like something, you tick and you get subscribers. But if they were to do that and post it on Facebook, what does it tell you about the motivation for why they're doing those things? We could also maybe make that mistake in terms of sharing all our spiritual experiences online, talking about them, how great it was, how good I was. Misplaced. I'm leaving the needy bit for a moment. I'm now moving on to the prayer bit. So can we have the next one, please? Again, Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many, many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In this passage, what I see, I don't see Jesus criticizing necessarily where they are praying. But again, he's definitely highlighting why they're doing it in that way is wrong and taking away the spiritual. In the time of Jesus, Pharisees were praying in lots of places. Of course, the synagogues and the temples. They were obviously, from this passage, praying in the streets, praying on the street corner. Does ask the question, why choose a street corner? Some commentaries might say because that's the busiest place. You have the intersection of two thoroughfares, so you get people from here and people from that direction. More people will see you. It's hinting at performance, isn't it? It's hinting at, I'm doing this to be seen. I'm doing this to build up my street credibility. Jesus is highlighting that the religious leaders of the time and others were praying because they had a desire to be admired. They wanted to be admired for the way that they prayed. I love that word babbling. It's a lovely word, babbling. And Lord forgive me, but when I read that, I thought of Mr. Bean. Babbling. It's the sort of thing, it's just popped in my head, that Mr. Bean would say babbling in such a manner that would make it amusing and attractive. And I also think of a babbling brook. Babbling, in terms of a babbling brook, is a lovely sound, isn't it? A nice warm day, sun's coming down, you're beside a babbling brook. And there's that lovely sound as it babbles away. And it's soothing. But it's a sound. Babbling is a sound. It's not a language. It doesn't convey meaning. It's just something that's pretty. Now, in here, I think Jesus is saying the same sort of thing. They're babbling to make a nice sound. And I think also at the time, those that were worshipping the foreign gods, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, they often went into their temples and they, because they weren't sure which of the various gods they were praying to and which one might help them today, they would say the names of the gods, quite a few of them, and they would repeat them and repeat them and repeat them in the vain hope that they said it enough that one of those gods would hear them and would answer. That's not how prayer works for us, is it? We know God hears. We know God answers. We don't have to use a big, strong voice. We don't have to use lots of repetition. But I'm not saying repetition is wrong. Repetition can come from a place of desire, a place of need. And we just want to impress upon our Father, we need his help. We need. It comes from a place of humility and a place of desire. So repetition in prayer, I'm not saying is wrong. And I don't think that's what this passage says. But it does say quite clearly, again, their motivation is wrong. And they're babbling for the purpose of making it look good. They're using long words, maybe. They're using a loud voice. They're using a stylistic approach to their prayer. Maybe their arms are flying about. I wasn't there, I don't know. But we need to be aware, actually. It can still happen today, can't it? We need to be honest and open in prayer. It's a relationship. Another key word I'm going to come back to in a minute. So Jesus is pointing out that these religious leaders are praying for their own sake. They're praying in places and in a manner which is to draw attention to them, not to lead those around into the presence of God. We need to be cautious of that. We need to be cautious. Jesus didn't really have, I think, a big problem with the place of where people were praying. But he did have a problem with the performance they were doing in their prayer. I know somebody who prays in the street quite often, often sitting with a cup of tea. And I commend them for it personally, because they're doing it quietly and discreetly. They're going into a place to pray for the people around, to pray for who they see. And they're doing it unseen. Unseen by those around, but not unseen by God. We need to bear that in mind in the way that we pray for people. Because if we are sharing in prayer, what we want is the Lord's Spirit to minister to them. We don't want to be in the way. We don't want those people to see us. We want those people to meet with Jesus. And again, it comes from a place of motivation. It's not about performance, is it? Prayer is about relationship. It's a relationship we have with God. And we're privileged to be able to talk to the Almighty God. It's not about us, is it? It really isn't about us. Next one, please. Let's have a little talk about fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they are deceiving. They have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it would not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting was, I think, probably more common in the religious structures, in the religious leadership of New Testament times than maybe it is today. But again, Jesus says, when you fast. And I think there are good reasons for us to fast. But there need to be the right reasons. I think at the time of Jesus, when he was walking around here, the Pharisees are falling into a routine, a pattern, a schedule of fasting. And the Pharisees would fast twice a week, often on a Tuesday and often on a Thursday. And I understand that Tuesdays and Thursdays were also market days. And that some of these religious leaders had taken to fasting on the market days in public places. And what this verse says here, they're making themselves up. They're making themselves look drawn, as if they're so pious and holy, they're going without food. Look at me, I'm fasting. Look at me, look how hard it is, I must be holy. And they're doing this in the public places. There's no spiritual benefit there. There's no spiritual reward. What are they doing again? Drawing attention to themselves. They're taking what should be part of the core activity of a religious person, sincerely seeking God. Fasting comes from a place of desire. If you go through the Old Testament and through the New Testament as well, you will see that the Christians, the Jews, fasted at times of crisis. They fasted at times of bereavement. They fasted when they were fearful. Those are times when we want to be closer to God. Those are times when it is right to fast. Fasting is not magic. Fasting is taking something of yourself, putting it aside, and putting God in its place. And we all think of giving up food, don't we? In the time that Jesus is talking, the Pharisees would fast from sunup to sundown, and they would only drink. There are other ways of fasting, particularly in this day and age. You can give up social media for a week or for a day. For some people, that might be a good thing. That might be a good way of fasting, that they put down the distraction of the modern world and put in place prayer. They put down what the world's telling me and put in place, I'm listening to God. That's right. that can bring a spiritual blessing, because that is fasting in the right manner. So long as they do it quietly. So long as they do it in secret, so that it's genuine, so that our Lord knows about it. So that our spirit may be lifted by the Holy Spirit, that we may share closer communion with God. So one of the words I've skipped over in those three little sections is hypocrisy. As the hypocrites. Jesus used that word a number of times in this passage. He also used it in chapter 7. He also used it in Luke 10, I think it is. Luke 12, sorry, I've got it written down here. And also in Matthew 23. And I'm going to read Matthew 23 to you because I think it's pertinent. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seat in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." It's all about show. Anybody here know what a phylactery is? Yeah, I can see your face, Hugh. What? A phylactery. That's right. It's a little leather roll sometimes. I think it's sometimes carried on the belt. I think sometimes it's on the head as well. But they make their phylacteries large, which means rather than have a discreet little verse tucked away in the breast pocket, because the Lord is talking to me through that verse this week, they have a great big leather thing. It says, "God's word. I'm walking around with God's word." It also says here they make their tassels longer on their garments. The tradition at the time, they would have effectively prayer tassels. It would remind them of the key aspects of their faith. It talks about putting an extra burden on them. Moses was given 10 commandments. And I think at this time the Torah has 613 laws, which are roughly equally divided by things you must do and things you mustn't do. And the Pharisees were very good of placing people under law, but not actually help them get through it. But he's saying here, they're doing that because they want to be seen. They want to be admired. They want to be lifted up. In Luke 12, Jesus also addresses the same issue, but he uses this language. "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roof.'" Everyone, when they were hearing Jesus speak on that Sermon on the Mount, knew what a hypocrite was. Slightly different meaning than the way we use it today. Simply because a hypocrite then was an actor, a Greek actor. So if you were a hypocrite, you were an actor. And in the Greek plays, in the Greek tragedy plays, the actors would often have a mask to cover themselves. So when they're acting, you see the mask, you see the character. And often during a play, one actor would have a different mask because he's betraying something else. Jesus is saying that these Pharisees, these religious people who are doing these things, are hypocrites. They are acting. They are not really praying. They're not really seeking God. They're acting the part. They've got their face up. The face mask is hiding them. You, us, people in the street, they see the mask. They see the character. What God sees is behind the mask. He sees what's in here, in the secret place. The warning here to all of us is quite clear. Do not be hypocritical. Do not be a hypocrite in the way that we live our faith. Do not be a hypocrite. The religious leaders were placing themselves into a position where they could perform on street corners with fancy words of prayer. They were trying to find a place where they could receive the adoration, not God. Now, I think it's interesting that there's three sections here. It talks about prayer, it talks about giving to the needy, and it talks about fasting. But then there's another section which I didn't actually read out, and it talks about the Lord's Prayer. And God is saying, this is how you pray. And the Lord's Prayer, as a pattern, he's telling them, this is the order of priority. This is what you should be thinking in your heart, in your minds. Because the Lord's Prayer starts with relationship. Relationship and reverence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts with relationship. It's relationship that should drive our behavior. It's relationship that drives the way we share our faith. It then follows on to God-focused petitions, doesn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Relationship, reverence. Then focus on God's wants, God's petitions, seeing his will done. It then moves on to the human petition. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, God is talking to these people. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to people on the hills. He's saying, do not be hypocritical in your faith. Do not fake it. But be real. Don't place a mask over your face and try and hide from me, because you cannot. I know you. I made you. I love you. I want to be in relationship with you. I don't want you to act. I want you to be real. Be real with me. So the warning here, I think, is clear, and it's not just from 2,000 years ago. It applies today, every bit as much today, in the way that we live. We need to avoid being hypocritical. Nobody likes a hypocrite, is it? That's sort of moved on. But Jesus applied it here, and it's a harsh criticism. Those who heard this for the first time were probably astounded, probably offended, particularly if they were a Pharisee. Because it's challenging to us all, isn't it? If we're being hypocritical, then we're seeking admiration instead of seeking God. If we're being hypocritical, then we're replacing relationship with God with a performance for the crowd. If we're being hypocritical, then a spiritual practice which can reward us in spiritual nourishment, in growth, simply becomes an act of self-promotion with no value, no heavenly value whatsoever. Click on to the next slide, please. Can't get the time. So here's the challenge. True generosity, as I say, there is not a performance, and the value of giving is not measured by visibility, but by sincerity. Prayer is not about performance, but about communion with the Father. Fasting is not about signaling our holiness, but about focusing our desires on God. We can all be hypocritical at times. We can all put a face up, a mask that disguises the way we're feeling or what we're thinking. And the world around us may be fooled by it. But God sees what's behind the mask, and he sees straight into our hearts. Be real with God is my plea to us all, for us all. Let's not be hypocrites. If we're hurting, share the hurt in private with God. If we're joyful, share the joy in private with God. If we want to really seek him, let's quietly fast before him and seek his desire. But let's not act. Let's not act. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not yet let that yeast of hypocrisy move through us. For God wants us just as we are. He makes us holy. He nourishes us. He wants us in relationship. Let's strive to be in that place. Let's strive to be open and honest and led by him in all that we do. Amen.